Certainly want to thank Tanya for her very special message this morning. I trust your heart's been blessed. And we're not here to listen out of curiosity. We're not here to be blessed just by the height of her expressions, but by the power of the word. And we pray that indeed we've been blessed and our lives will be changed. I just want to reflect, want to thank Pastor Reggie for the welcome this morning. He indicated you could take off your shoes, and that's fine. He also said you should sleep. That's not fine. Our message comes from the text we read, Mark 5, 1-15, living among the tombs. I invite you to bow your heads as we pray. Father, we may indeed be living among the tombs of this life, but we're thankful that you've said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so we surrender ourselves to you. Speak to our hearts this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This story, which was read from the scriptures, Mark 5, 1-15, is recorded in three of the Gospels. It describes how Jesus set, and you'll pardon me, I'll explain later on. It describes how Jesus set two men free who were controlled by demons. And today I'm thankful that Jesus has the power to set us free. I'm not here talking about freedom from economic oppression or even the racial slavery of the 18th and 19th century. For many are free. Many are free from prisons, free from slavery, free from political oppression, free to do whatever they want, yet they are still imprisoned. For you can be behind bars, but still be free. And you can be physically free, but still be imprisoned. Today, like never before, we can say that we are free. But today, like never before, people are enslaved by the devil in the prisons of our wild and unmanageable passions and our vile and sinful lusts. Today, like never before, people are enslaved and imprisoned by modern devils, the devils of drugs and pornography, the devils of materialism and self-indulgences, the devil of sexual sins, selfishness, sinful pride, wanting to be free, but the devil has us locked behind the bars of these prisons. I remember in ministry many years ago, working with individuals who are under the influence of drugs and sensing that many of these wanted to be free. But the devil had them imprisoned in these modern day slavery. In John 8:32, the scripture says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus came to this earth to set men free. Somebody say amen. Jesus came to this earth to set men free. The Bible says these men were controlled by many demons, but they weren't born that way. So let's fill in some details. I would believe these men grew up living in decent homes with parents who took them to the synagogue every Sabbath. As little boys, they would often be seen playing around the village or running through to school through the olive groves around the village of Gadara. In fact, Barnes' commentary suggests that one of these men was born and educated in the city nearby. He had probably, Barnes suggested, been a man of wealth and eminence. He was well known. So the question to be answered is this: what occurred in the lives of these two boys that transferred them from two innocent, carefree boys into fierce, demon-controlled men who now lived amongst the tombs? What happened to them? Were they carrying unresolved emotional baggage, such that they were unable to trust or to form deep personal relationships? Were they suffering from crippling emotional issues resulting in rage or jealousy due to insecurity and low self-esteem? People were so terrified by these men that they put chains on them. All night long you could hear their horrible demonic screams echoing among the tombs. All attempts to free them involved putting chains on them. They still had the remains of broken shackles on their hands and feet. All attempts to free them from the bonds of past habits and past sins had failed so often that now guilt and shame eroded their self-esteem. Playing with sin in their youth was now bearing a dreadful fruit. Dr. David Simmons, in his book Healing for Damaged Emotions, says we are living in a world of indecency, indiscipline, and sensuality. He says in this society, it is very difficult for anyone to grow to young adulthood without suffering from some damage to the sex department of their personality. He relates stories of Christians struggling with all kinds of sexual sins. In one story, Dr. Simmons tells the story of a young woman who, in shame, kept her back turned to him, pulled a coat over her face to hide from him, while she sobbed out a story of a father who treated her not as a daughter, but as if she were his wife. He said there are scores of young men and young women unfit for marriage, unable to be husbands or wives, unable to live lives without fear and guilt and shame, for they have been damaged, very severely, badly damaged, with emotional baggage chaining them to the past. We all have stories of emotional wounds that we have suffered because of the damaging effects of sin in our lives. Years ago, a large deposit of emotional pain and trauma was made into your life. This deposit was made either by your own willful disobedience of God. In other words, you knowingly or ignorantly did something you should not have done. Now, the secret of that action is buried deep in your heart, but every day you regret. You feel the pain of that decision. Perhaps it was an abortion or molestation or incest. Maybe it was addiction to alcohol, drugs, or even pornography. The deposit could have resulted also from pain inflicted on you during childhood. The pain of being abandoned, unwanted, the pain of being neglected, the pain of me being made to feel like a nobody, the pain of rape, of molestation by a trusted family or a trusted friend, the pain of a divorce, a death, a separation. This deep emotional pain has been your constant companion through all of your life. Now, like these two demon-possessed men, you're chained to the demons of your past. Still chained to pride and self-egotism. Still chained to alcohol and drug addiction. Still chained to lust of the flesh and lust of the eye and the pride of life. All previous attempts to break the power of sin in our lives, to break the hold of the devil over us, only involved exchanging one bondage for another. One drug for another. One sin for another. We have exchanged cigarette and tobacco for the patch. Cocaine and heroin for methadone. Prostitution for pornography. So all we have done is exchanged one set of chain for another set of chain. Today I'm saying to you, beloved, give it up. Open up to Jesus. Get ready to offload your baggage. Let Jesus come in and heal that brokenness inside of you. Get ready for Jesus to set you free from living among the tombs. We need Jesus today to set us free. Turn to your neighbor and say, I need Jesus to set me free. Come on, let's say that like we believe it. Amen. Let's look at what Jesus did for these two men. Archaeological evidence shows that the region where these men lived was covered in limestone hills. And among these hills were natural and man-made caves. The caves served as tombs and burial sites for the dead. It was among these wild, uninhabitable tombs, a place for the dead, that these men lived. Daily, they wandered amongst the tombs, living amongst the tombs, sleeping amongst the tombs, eating amongst the tombs. They were like the living dead. Their lives that had so much promise in their youth had come to this. Just trying to exist, living amongst the tombs. Can you imagine what it is like living amongst tombs? Yet we so often find ourselves living among the tombs. Living among the tombs is a sign we are spiritually dead. It is a sign we are spiritually enslaved. It is a sign that we have surrendered ourselves to demons of doubts and devils of despair. Living among the tombs means that we have given up to that sin that so easily besets us. That we are no longer fighting to overcome that perverted practice, that sinful state, that immoral issue, that heathen habit, that sinful ways. Tombs are places for the dead. You know, you're living among the tomb when you lose interest in spiritual things. I know I'm talking mainly to seminarians, but hear me. You are living among the tombs when Beyonce and Jay-Z is sweeter to you than Jesus. You are living among the tombs when drugs and alcohol and tobacco have become your gods. You are living among the tombs when you have no interest in spiritual things. You are living among the tombs when you are enslaved to pornography and sexual addictions. You are living among the tombs when you feel untouched and unresponsive to the love and to the amazing grace of God. Friends, Jesus comes that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Are you listening to me this morning? Do you hear what I'm saying to you? I'm saying that even to the spiritually dead, even to those living among the tombs, Jesus is ready to bring life. He comes to heal among the tombs. He visits to give life among the tombs. Jesus is here today searching for you among the tombs. I say, let him find you. He is here to set you free. Mark describes when Jesus stepped out of the boat in verse 2 and verse 3. I can just see Jesus and all the disciples stepping out of the boat onto a small sandy beach. Above the beach, there is a rocky, desolate landscape dotted with caves. Jesus and his disciples are heading for one of these caves, trying to find a good place to rest. But peering through the rocks and the trees are two creatures. Their eyes are bloodshot and red. They are snarling like wild animals, ready to charge. Dangling from their wrists are broken pieces of chain, as if once they were chained like dangerous wild dogs. The hair is thick and unkempt. Their bodies are bloody and battered as if they had been beaten, and only partially covered with filthy pieces of rags. Then suddenly, with an unearthly scream, the two creatures spring from their hiding place, and with murderous eyes filled with hate, they dash furiously toward Jesus. All 12 disciples turned and fled, sprinting like Usain Bolt, as if their lives depended on it. They moved so fast that years later, when Peter related the story for Mark to record in his gospel, all Peter could recall was that he saw one wild demon-possessed man. But Matthew and Luke, from their research, reported there were two men. But Jesus is not afraid. The Creator is not afraid of the created. The life giver is not afraid of the dead. You can always depend on Jesus. When the chips are down, he's there for you. When you are in trouble, my Jesus will stand up for you. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you, even though your friends forsake you and your parents desert you. Or when your spouse abandons you, my Jesus will stand up for you. And even the demons realize that Jesus is not afraid. Verse 6 describes that the demons fall down to worship Jesus. In raging fury, they had tried to scare Jesus. But when he didn't run, they had to fall down and worship him. I want to tell you something. The devil is smarter than us, but he's not smarter than Jesus. He should have had his demons run the other way from Jesus. After all, he had just tried in Mark chapter 4 to drown Jesus in a lake. But Jesus rebuked the storms. Now he tried again. But Jesus withstood him and all his demons. And in awe, the demons of hell fall down before the Son of God and worship. The devil lost again. And now his demons begged not to be expelled into outer darkness. My friends, regardless of what you may be facing, regardless of what habits or temptation the devil may put in your way, even if he has you in control living amongst the tombs, you can call on Jesus at any time, day or night. And when Jesus turns up in your life, the devil will be running for cover. The scripture says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It won't work. When Jesus turns up, the devil doesn't stand a chance. And so the demons beg Jesus, oh, don't send us too far. Don't banish us into outer darkness. They knew Jesus had the power. Mark 5, verse 9 said there were legions of demons. The Bible commentary points out that a legion is a Roman army division of 6,000 footmen and 700 horsemen. 6,700 demons. So these were indeed demons, legions of demons, demons of hatred, demons of pride, demons of lust, demons of greed, demons of vanity, and demons of vice, demons of drug addiction, and demons of darkness. There were big demons and small demons for big habits and small vices, demons of envy, demons of appetite, demons of adultery, demons of fornication, demons of pornography. There were demons called dishonesty, corruption, materialism, idolatry, uncontrollable temper, selfish ambition, alcoholism, conflict and rebellion, faction and division. 6,700 demons is enough. You could have a fresh demon every month for 18 and a half years. But when Jesus comes, these legions of demons beg and tremble. Scripture says, the devil knows there is a God and they tremble. And if you call on Jesus, he can cast out any demon that controls your life today. There are no demons in my life. There are no demons in your life that can match our Jesus. There is no pain and hurt that can hold you in bondage. Hebrews 4, 15, 16 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come how? Boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain what? Mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus has the power to release you from the prisons of past secret sins or the chains of your present condition. John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. Somebody say hallelujah. He is faithful. Somebody say praise the Lord. He is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and will purify us from all unrighteousness. Verse 13 describes how Jesus cast the demons out and freed the man. Mark 5:15 tells it all. When the crowds came and heard what Jesus had done, they came to see if that was so. And there in plain sight were two testimonies. The two men who once were wild and dangerous, controlled by demons of hell. Now here they were sitting at the feet of Jesus. The Bible said they were clothed in their right minds. I think there's a whole lot of sermon in that last part, but that's for another time. Jesus can do it all for you. He can do it all for me. Whatever are your demons today, Jesus is here to set you free. More today, more than at any other time, we need Jesus to set us free. Today, like never before, the only way we can get free is through the power of Jesus. Do you want to be free today? Do you want to be free today? Do you want to be free today? I invite you to let Jesus set you free. He is our bondage breaker. He is our burden bearer. He is our liberator. He is our freedom fighter. He is God. He is God. I'm going to invite you to stand up right now and claim the power of God to set you free. And as you do that, I want you to share this one sentence prayer with your neighbor. Say to your neighbor, today I give Jesus permission to set me free and to clothe me in my right mind. Just say that one sentence prayer with your neighbor. Beloved, as we close, I want to remind you of a powerful text I just love. As we celebrate what Jesus is going to do for us, it's in Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, let me ask you the question, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for all of us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? The devil can't condemn us. It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God. Who shall make intercession for us? And the question is then asked, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? I ask you this morning. Shall tribulation? I don't hear you. Don't sound like you're certain. Shall tribulation? What about distress? Or persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness? Or perils? Or sword? The Bible says, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, somebody say hallelujah. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, I don't know about you, but this morning I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what God promises to do when we cast all our burdens on him to set us free. God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the assurance of your words. We thank you for your experience on earth that reminds us that you still have a power today to set us all free from sin, to set us all free from pain, to set us all free from our trials of our past and the habits of our lives today. May we be free, clothed in our right mind, seated at the feet of Jesus in your eternal kingdom. when you shall come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.